1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 4. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Then go down to the 9th verse of the 19th chapter of 1 Kings. 1 Kings 19 and verse 9. We're now on the other side of the prophet praying fire down from heaven. We're on the other side of the juniper tree experience. But here, the Bible says, and he came thither from unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? I don't know if you realize it or not, but there's a new interest all around the world in caves. National Geographic did a whole section of stories on the 8 most sought-after caves for exploration. There's an inquisitive nature about people when it comes to caves. We know that caves are places of history. Some have writings on the walls. It's a place of both tragedies and treasures. Treasures have been found in caves, but also the bones of men and women have been found in caves. Some people are born in a cave, live in a cave all of their life, and die in a cave. Many people feel that the manger there at the inn where Jesus was born, most of the mangers in that area are not what we picture today. They're not a barn, but they're caves. The shepherds had caves that they could bring their sheep into when the elements of the night from the desert would blow in, because it would oftentimes get cool of the nights and during the rainy season as well. And they're called the shepherd's caves. They're all around Bethlehem. In fact, that's why Bethlehem became the main area for raising the sheep that was to be offered in temple sacrifice, because of the caves in that area. They had the barley fields, the wheat fields, and the caves that were there. That's where Boaz's fields were at, just outside of Bethlehem. So there was food and there was shelter. Some people have run to caves for shelter. We know we sang the song this morning, the choir did, brother. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. That song written by a great man of God as he was taking shelter from a storm and watched the storm pass over. So caves have a lot of interest. We found out this week, if any of you followed the news, within the past week to 8 days, 3 college students in Austin, Texas, became intrigued with a cave that's 12,000 feet long. That cave, the Airman's Cave, goes out like roots from a tree. And in order to enter that cave, there is an 18-inch opening, one opening into that tunnel of caves. And they go down that 18-inch pipe, and before they left, they had sense enough to say to some of their roommates, if we're not back by midnight, come looking for us. Well, the roommates and those friends waited until 5 in the morning to finally call 911. The rescue team went out, and they started to search in the caves. And even as the rescue workers went through, I thought it was intriguing some of the things that they said. For 30 hours, those kids were in that cave, and they're trying to find out of 12,000 feet an 18-inch opening to get out. Now look at me, folks. I'm not going cave exploration. I'm not doing it. I'm not interested. First of all, I don't like tight places. I don't even like MRIs. I think you ought to figure out a way to be able to take a picture of you without putting you inside of something like that. But I don't like being trapped in, let alone trying to find an 18-inch opening out of 12,000 feet of tunnels, a few places high enough to stand up. But as they started going out the branches, the rescuers knew their flashlights would have had to burn out. They left them food as they went, water as they went, in case they missed them trying to search for them. Then they would know, at least they would have their needs provided for, because in a cave, there is no food. It's a place where you might run into animals. It's a place where you can run into great danger. But there is something about people, for some reason, they're intrigued with caves right now. And when I thought about that, I couldn't help but think of the headline when I read it the other day. It said, student cave explorers found safe. And they were safe, they were alive, everyone was thrilled because they didn't know what would happen with them being in that cave that long. They knew the results could be terrible. And the Word of God is filled with people that go into caves. But most people in the Bible that went into caves, did not go into a cave because of an exploration. They weren't looking for treasure. They didn't have any other reason to be there except oftentimes they were going there out of fear. Two passages I read to you this morning, and I'm going to look at another in just a moment with you. But two passages, in both passages, they were there out of fear. The first one was Jezebel was cutting off the prophets. Obadiah takes these preachers, these prophets, hides them in a cave by 50 in a cave and protects their life. Now that, you know, I saw that differently this week than I've ever seen it in over 30 years of preaching. I used to think that was something that Obadiah did. I thought he was a great man. Now, you can disagree with me if you want to, but I don't see anything great about hiding preachers. And I got to thinking about this. Silent preachers are no different than dead preachers. Neither one has a voice. Who are they going to preach to? Each other? The ones that needed to hear the sermon were outside the cave. They were all in agreement on the inside. It's kind of a picture today. The church, if we're not careful, can become a cave and all we do is preach to the choir. When really what we need to do is be going out and taking the message to others that need to hear, you need to come to church. You need to be a part of the family of God. And in fact, if you don't bring lost people in, then we're simply not in a place where we can preach to them because they're not here. A lot of things in life can drive you to a cave. The prophet, with all of his power with God, was afraid of one woman. I can understand that. The right woman. You know what I mean. Any one person can really get to the place where they have authority, and if they abuse their power and abuse their authority, then they can certainly make it miserable on everyone. I thought of a new definition, really, for fear this week. Fear is faith in the enemy. Because when you get to the place that you run from what God wants and try to find a place where that you can isolate yourself, you're putting faith in the enemy. You're saying that the enemy can't do to you what you can help yourself overcome, and that God can't take care of you in the face of your enemy. Now we're facing a lot of things in the church, and really, there's when things happen in life, there's a backlash effect. When people die, it doesn't always affect them the first few days. Sometimes it's months later. When people lose their job, they don't run out of money the first few days, but days later, that affects them. When they have relationships that go bad, it doesn't affect them in the first few hours. And really, the people that need to hear this probably aren't here today because they're probably in a cave somewhere. And the battle that you face is the cave can become a hiding place. I want you to turn over to Joshua chapter 10. And let me read just a couple, three verses here. I want to look at two or three things. There's great dangers if you let a cave become a hiding place. A lot of people find caves in life. I know men that they make their job their cave. Hide out there. Some people find other locations in life to hide out. There's people that's hiding out in their homes today. In fact, people are becoming more isolated. I've talked to several funeral directors in the area the past few weeks, and I don't know if you realize it or not, but the funeral directors in our area right now, they're starting to suffer some. People's not having funerals. Yeah, a lot of folks, when they die, they just say, I want to be cremated, I don't want a service, I don't want any expense. Boy, it's quiet, isn't it? Do you know why that's happening? People are dying lonely. See, what they're saying is no one cares enough about me to come to my funeral anyway. Boy, I am trying to preach. And they get isolated. They live their life almost like a hermit. There's people that you work with that even though you work with them every day, you know absolutely nothing about them. They come in, they work beside of you. They say, you do your job, I'll do my job. We're here to do our job, let's go on. We don't want to know anything about each other. People live beside of one another. Don't even know their neighbor's names today. Don't even know who's living around them. Has no idea who's living next door. Because people are isolating themselves more and more. And now what happens is when traumatic things come in your life, you'll do good sometimes, even in the face of it. Elijah, when they were all there, he had no problem praying fire down from heaven. But after this great experience of seeing the false prophet slaughtered, the man of God gets to a place where he doesn't want to be around anyone. The number one sign of people going in the wrong direction is withdrawal. And they look to a place where they can hide. In Joshua 10:16, the Bible talks about five kings, and it says, but these five kings, in verse 16 of the 10th chapter of Joshua, but these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makeda. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in a cave at Makeda. Now, here's the danger of hiding in a cave. If somebody that loved the Lord was to go into that same cave, they would have been living with the enemy. Even the heathen hides in caves. Be careful when you go in a cave because you don't know who you'll be sleeping with. You don't know who will influence you. You don't know their philosophy. You don't know. I watch this. Somebody that gets down a lot of times runs to somebody else that's down. And they think that if we take two things that are not working and put it together, suddenly it's going to work. But it doesn't do that. In fact, generally, if you're not careful, if you're the kind of person that's upbeat, if you find yourself at an experience where you start to hide in a cave, then if you stay there too long, then you'll find out that the cave is unattractive. It's not a good place to be in. There's nothing attractive about it. But you'll be influenced by that environment and not want to come out of it. I've been trying to get some of you folks out of it for 20 years. And you're still miserable. Some of you, the devil has you in a cave, trapped in a cave, saying, don't you come out and give your life to God. Stay where you're at. You don't need the Lord. But it's time for you to understand, you better get out of the cave. There's real dangers in the cave. Because the cave becomes a hiding place. You think no one else is there. But you really don't know who is there. Then in verse 18, and Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave and set men by it for to keep them. Here's the danger of going to a cave for a hiding place. The hiding place became a prison. They ran there to hide, to protect themselves. But little did they know that on the outside, stones would be rolled over the door and then they couldn't get out. The very thing that they were trying to hide from wound up holding them in. They became a prisoner of the very thing that they feared the most. They thought they would go to the cave to get away from it. But the truth of the matter is, all that happened was it held them hostage once they got there. Now listen, folks. I know what it is to be hurt. I know what it is to be rejected. I know what it is to have people disappoint you. But I also know what it is to stay in a cave too long. And if you stay in the cave too long, the cave will become the prison house to you. And they said, listen, we'll just trap them in until they can't get out. What the devil wants to do today is drive you to a place where you're bound. We used to preach a lot about deliverance. And we used to preach a lot about Satan binding people. But today, folks don't understand the thing they're running to can become a cave. They run to the bottle, and the bottle becomes a cave. And the very thing they used to hide from suddenly holds them captive. and they can't get out. The bad thing about that too is in verse 22, the Bible says, "Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave." Somebody else controls when you get out. Now, you know, I'm sure those guys thought it was all right when they first got there. We're safe. They can't get in without coming through the opening. They never dreamed they'd close the opening off. Here's how you can tell how deep in the cave you are, how bound you are. When they closed the opening off, the lights went out. Does anything light up your life anymore? I mean, is there ever a sermon that thrills your heart? Is there ever a song that blesses your soul? I'm telling you, the light is going out. I've listened to a lot of the music lately. And boy, I tell you, it's pitiful. I mean, the gospel music I'm talking about. It's pitiful. No one's getting any illumination. It's apparent. I listen to a lot of the sermons. It's pitiful. There's no illumination to it. And you'll find out that suddenly, when you get yourself in a cave, the first thing that will happen is there'll be nothing fresh. Nothing will shine through to you. Nothing will be new to you. Everything will get dark around you, and you'll lose your sense of direction, and you'll not trust your own ability or your own senses anymore, because suddenly you feel like, I don't know which way I'm going. I don't know if that's the voice of the Lord or not. I don't know if this is a trick or a trap or if it's a blessing. You get yourself in the dark. You don't know where you're going. You don't know where to go. And what's worse, you have to depend on somebody else to get you out, because now you're at a place where it's dark and you don't know the way out. Those kids would have died had there not been a rescuer that came to that cave and saw out 15 people, went down in that tunnel, risking their life trying to find those kids. Five of those were civilians, not experts, but civilians that had gone into those caves. And the truth of the matter is, if you're at a place today, I'm glad for all the things we have available to us. There's a lot of things that's given to us today. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes to get out of the cave, you've got to have the right one to roll the stone away. And the only one that can do that and really rescue you effectively is Jesus Christ Himself. If you get to that place where life is dark, and damp and cold, and you can't sense the presence of God nor feel the presence of God, if you call on the name of the Lord, I believe He's able to roll the stone away and say, I know Satan was guarding the door, but I've conquered death, hell, and the grave, and I'm here to give you illumination. If someone else is controlling it, I'd like to be the Lord, the one controlling when I get in and get out. But now watch this. The cave became the hiding place. The hiding place became a prison. See, that's already happened to some of you. You had bad ordeals, and now you don't want to do anything for the church and anything for the Lord. Hey, I'm preaching realistically here today. There's things that happen in life that you just as well understand it. Nobody's picking on you. It's just a part of life. I wish people didn't get sick. I wish people didn't have heartache. I wish folks didn't have troubles and folks didn't have trials. But the truth of the matter is, they do. And it's natural. It's a natural instinct to run to the cave when that happens. It's not wrong to run to the cave, but it is wrong to live there and stay there and let the cave become a prison to you. And the worst thing of all, if you stay there too long, the cave became a hiding place. The hiding place became a prison. But look in verse 26 of Joshua 10. 26 and 27. And afterward, Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. And it came to pass, at the time of the going down of the sun, that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them where? Into the cave, wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. The cave became the hiding place became the prison, and the prison became the grave. The very thing you fear the most will hold your bones when you're gone. It'll take the life right out of you. And then that'll be your burial place. That's what you'll be known for by the time it's over. You know how many times in this church, I commented on the young people, but do you know how many times in this church that I have sat in 30 years of ministry now with young men and young women, and they'll share with me about things that's happened in their life and in their family, things that's happened with their parents. For example, their parents may get a terrible drug addiction. Their parents may have problems in their home and divorce and separate. And kids sit there and tell me how much they hate that. How much they despise that. But now that's the very thing that has drained the spiritual life out of them. It's the very thing that's destroyed them. Now listen to me. You may not want to hear this. I'm saying this with all respect. People may fail you. Parents may fail you. Preachers may fail you. Deacons may fail you. Other Christians may fail you. But you listen to me. That does not have to set the destiny of your life forever. Oh, glory to God. You do not have to be bound by that. And I know you may be awakened in the middle of the night with fear, and the devil breathed down your neck his hot breath and saying, if I did that to them, I'll do that to you. I'm sorry that people make bad choices and bad decisions, and I'm sorry that people go into caves, but I'm here to tell you it doesn't have to be that way, and it doesn't have to stay that way. I know that your mom and dad may have died lost without the Lord, but you don't have to die lost without Christ. You don't have to face eternity in hell just because they did. I know they may have told you you're worthless and you're not good for anything, and they may have crushed your self-esteem, but I want to tell you this morning, you can become a child of God. And if you're a child of God, the important thing is that the Heavenly Father looks down on us and says, I love you, I care for you, don't let the cave become your grave. If someone would not have rescued those kids, the cave would have become the grave. The number one battle that preachers face today in churches all across America, number one's commitment, number two's cave dwellers. People get in a cave and build a campfire. Like it there. They do well for years. I've never understood. Do well for years. Pray for a lost husband. Pray for a lost spouse. Lost children. Their husband gets saved or their children get saved. The one they bore the burden for. And then they quit coming to church. They feel like their mission in life is over. Hey, by the way, we can get that way as a church. We can get to the place that we feel like we've reached all that we can reach and we've done all that we can do. But you listen, the need is greater than it's ever been before. We are closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ any day, any moment, any second. Jesus could come again. Now, I'm going to share with you something this morning before I close. That I talked to a lot of people and I shared it with Howard. I think I told Brian about it. Is absolutely one of the most profound statements that I've heard in recent years in my ministry. I was talking last week to Billy Fields. And Billy was in the state of Florida holding a meeting the week before last. And we have a mutual preacher friend. He's a great pastor. He's a great man. And I'm glad for what the Lord's doing here. But I want to tell you, we've got 16 preachers in this church. And that is so unusual. So unusual. 16, I think we're going to have to add 17. I've just made Ty one of our own now, especially after Wednesday night. Yeah. But I want you to know something. Some of you are living in this cave. You don't know what's going on outside these doors. Outside these doors, it's horrible what's happening in the church world. It really is not. Now, I'm not going to say it the way you think it is. I'm not talking about mere convictions. I'm talking about discouraged people, good people that love the Lord, that's discouraged. And I'm here to tell you, it's miserable to hold a weak revival in their church. Miserable. Because they don't care. They are so defeated, they're so discouraged, they're putting in their time until they die. I could take you to 100 pastors right here in the area right now. 100 pastors that they'd leave tomorrow if they could. But the reason they won't leave, they're afraid they'll get another church just like they got. And the reason the people don't want them to go is they're afraid they'll get another preacher just like they got. And both of them absolutely so discouraged, it's miserable. It's wretched going to church like that. They sing the same song, go through the same thing. You better be done by 12 o'clock or it's all over. I'll show you. I'll get up and walk out on you. Miserable. If they change one thing in the service, folks are upset. The average age of ministers, I don't know if you realize this, the average age of pastors across this country, according to a recent poll in one of the metropolitan areas, they did a search of churches all across the country. Back 30, 40 years ago, the average age of a pastor was right around 40 to 42 years of age. Now the average age of a pastor is 60. Now think about it. I know we've got young people. But Brian, be honest, how many calls do you get for pulpit supply? Because they don't have anybody. They're calling us because they don't have anybody to call in their denomination to come and preach to their people if their pastor's on vacation, sick, out of the pulpit. They don't know where to call. In fact, I would say Brian and I probably, and we're not bragging, we probably get more calls in a week to fill the pulpit with other preachers as district superintendents get. Because they don't have anybody to send. Now stay with me. This preacher asked Billy a question. Said, is it just me? Because in our area, I don't see any young preachers that's coming up that's preachers. And that's the key. You understand what I'm saying? I am not, as Jack Lassiter mentioned, I am not a life coach. See, there's a new era coming on where they're coming up in the area now, and it's all about entertainment. It's all about making you feel good. I'm talking about men of God that will thunder in the pulpit. You don't have to be loud like me, but you better know what you're saying and preach the truth. Preachers are falling by the wayside. It's just about gone. Folks say people don't want to hear preaching, but everywhere I go, I find folks are very hungry for preaching. John the Baptist was a preacher. Jesus, while he was a great teacher, he also said, he hath anointed me to preach. Stay with me. So we're looking, we've got a generation now that's trying all these little feel-good ideas. And what they're doing is they're taking the older people's money that they have worked and tithed and given to the church, and they're taking their money and destroying the backlog of treasury, and then they're gone. And they say to the older folks, sit down and shut up. Just keep giving your money. We want 14 people on the platform playing a 12-string guitar out of tune, all singing lead at the same time. Dressed like they want, doing what they want, because some big church in California did it and it worked. So then, I'm not just making this up. I have a pastor friend that went to heaven just a few months ago. His last Sunday in his church, I preached for him. His last Sunday in his church, 5,285 people there. $3.5 million in their contingency fund. They called him back 3 years later, an old man. Come back and help us. They were down under 200 people. He preached himself to death trying to rebuild that church in his latter days. What a shame. What a shame. Now stay with me. This preacher says, we see preachers come along, they say they're preachers, and when they go out, then all of a sudden they just redo the whole church. And they're telling us about how it's going to grow, but next thing you know, the church is bankrupt, closed its doors, Nobody's there. And nobody is, boy, I'm feeling this morning. I'm sorry I'm in overtime. Said, but nobody's there. And said, now that that's not working, there's no preachers being raised up. And he said, Billy, do you find this to be common across the country? I do. Billy asked me, he said, do you? I said, I do. In our church, we're blessed, but I'm telling you, outside the doors of the area, I'm not saying that there's not a few called here and there. But you check out, I've got friends that pastor large churches that absolutely cannot find an associate pastor. They can't find him. There are certain denominations that you make more money as an associate music director than you do as a pastor. They're now paying their music leader more than they're paying their pastor. Now don't get angry with me. It's a fact. Check it out. And he asked Billy, he said, why do you think that is? Here's the most profound statement I've heard in years. Billy said, maybe God doesn't need to raise up a new crop. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, if Jesus comes. Oh, glory. If the Lord comes, He don't need preachers here then because they'll be going anyway. So what He's doing is He's filling the void with those that really won't preach it until He comes. But you're seeing a diminishing in that because folks are now at a place where they're in a cave and they don't want to preach and they don't want to hear preaching. But you better listen, and you listen good, because here's a preacher that'll tell you this morning, if you don't hear anything else, if you die lost without Jesus Christ, there is a hell. And the reason that Jesus came to this world is to shed His blood, die on a cross, raise from the grave, that you might be saved and make a way of redemption. And it's time for you to get out of the cave. We're too proud, worried about what others will think. But if I take enough of it and go long enough and act like it's not there, maybe I can talk my way out of it. I'm sorry. I'm willing to listen to you, but you can't talk your way out of it. Now come on. I just want you to be honest. How many of you that say you've been in a cave before? Do you remember what it was like the day you came out? Good people that love the Lord, that life just hard on them. And you think, I just want to find a hiding place. And if I can get away for a little while and just hide long enough, it'll eat. But you find out the devil rolls a stone at the door. And then you realize one day, well, here's my problem. I'm going to have Jesus come and take care of the enemy and get the stone rolled back to rescue me from this cave. There's people here today that you're in a cave. And the only way things are going to change in your life is let the Lord rescue you. He did it when He saved you. He'll do it when He helps you. Billy, had you not rebuked that thing today, you hear what I'm saying. You'd have gone in a cave, and the devil made sure he rolled a stone over the door. And then the sad part is a lot of people are going to die in the cave. I know it's real simple today, but I just got to tell you, if you need a hiding place, Rock of Ages cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. I didn't tell them to sing that song today. They didn't know what I was preaching. There is a hiding place. But be careful what cave you go into. And be careful you stay there too long. Because when you get there, you'll find out the heathen might be in there. Start whispering in your ear and saying, you know, they really don't care. The church really don't care about you. Nobody's really concerned about you. You've done all of that work and no one knows the difference anyway. I want you to know the Lord knows. And there's coming a day when He's going to make all the wrongs right.
Praise the Lord!
He will. Don't stay in the cave. Get out of the cave. You lost your shout. Get out of the cave. You've lost your joy. Get out of the cave. If you're thirsty and you need something to drink, get out of the cave. If you're hungry and you need to be fed, get out of the cave. If there's nothing illuminated in your life, no revelation from God, get out of the cave. Get out of the cave.